And then a little later, it includes an account of a worldwide flood associated with Noah, a worldwide flood that killed all living things on the earth except two or four of each particular kind salvaged by Noah. Now, to set the tone, because this was such a significant account in the Western tradition, I'm just going to read some passages from Genesis to see exactly what this account says. Now, there are lots of different biblical translations. I've just chosen one of them. If it doesn't ring exactly like you remember, well, that's because of the translation I picked, but they're all about the same. I wasn't trying to bias it in any way by the choice of translation. And let's just see how it begins. This is beginning with the first chapter, the first verse of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light was good. I'm skipping ahead a little bit. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. Skipping ahead a little bit more. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth and across the expanse of the sky." So God created the green creatures of the sea, the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their own kind. And God saw it and said it was good. And God said, "Let the land produce creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move across the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And so it was. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image." Well, this is the biblical account, the Genesis account. And note one significant point that we're going to have to follow through this entire course. Note it says expressly that each type of animal and each type of plant was said to reproduce according to its own kind. Read literally, this precluded evolution of one kind into another, because each bred true, as created by God, according to its own kind. Now, the Bible does not state when this creation occurred, but most early Christians, the best we can tell, probably assumed that this did not occur too long ago. In the 1600s, the Anglican bishop James Usher used biblical evidence, that is, evidence within the Bible itself, to fix the year of creation at 4004 B.C. This was the established biblical view that continues to the present, of course, but around at the time when evolution came. Now, over the past 2,000 years, this creationist account, this account from Genesis did not exist alone within the Western tradition. Religious accounts of origins, at least for the past 2,000 years, have competed with scientific accounts of origins. Science began with the Greeks. Began with the ancient Greeks about 600 BC. We get the first sort of scientific accounts, scientific explanations for natural phenomena. Now, although many Greeks retained religious theories about nature founded on revelation or their own mythical stories, some Greek philosophers proposed materialistic ones, materialistic explanations for natural phenomena founded on reason. Now, what do I mean by the term materialistic here? Because we'll see it coming back again. What's meant there is explaining natural phenomena without recourse to God or the supernatural. That nature and natural phenomena can be explained as the result of physical matter, hence materialism, physical matter moving in accord with natural law. Matter in motion, as it were. With God, at most, the remote creator of the primordial matter and the laws of motion by which it operates. This was sort of the account, for those of you who have read Plato and Plato's Timaeus, you can see this sort of an account where God created the primordial matter and the laws and then left it operate.